Welcome to the Winning with Shopify podcast. This is the podcast to help you scale your Shopify store into a money-making machine. Your host is Nick Truman. He's a Shopify expert and the CEO of JustAskParker.com, a global specialist marketing agency for Shopify owners. Nick will be sharing his knowledge and interviewing the experts to help you thrive and build a business that makes you money. For exclusive offers, bonus content, and weekly episode reminders, join our mailing list at winningwithshopify.com. Now, sit back, relax, and enjoy the show. Here's your host, Nick Truman.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Winning with Shopify podcast. For anyone who's not checked out our YouTube channel yet, go and check it out. If you're watching our YouTube channel for the first time, hello. You might have been listening to me for years, and now you can see me, and apologies for the shock. There's a couple of things I'm going to let everybody be aware of, a couple of little announcements to mention just before we kick into today's episode. The first one is that we've had a few emails popping in saying, how can we sponsor the show? You always need to have great guests. If you want to sponsor the show, just head onto our website. There is a form on there. Fill that out. We'll book a call and we'll have a chat about sponsorships and you can talk about what you can do on the podcast. Second thing as well, as you might have heard my moan last week, I did have a little moan about email. We've unsubscribed everybody because we had so many dead email addresses and so many bounces on there. So if you're not receiving emails at the moment, head over to our website, fill out that form again. Apologies a little bit of work to do. There are some exclusive offers from a load of our sponsors and some of our partners going out on the email. So make sure you check out the email. And then finally as well, looking into new years, into 2023, which I can't believe I'm saying that. It still feels like 2015 to me in my head. But into 2023, we're going to be doing some series each month. So we've had some feedback from you guys that you prefer a series to kind of individual episodes and bouncing through different topics. So next year, we're looking at doing like a month on PPC, a month on email, a month on store optimization, a whole range of other things as well. And we're just queuing up some of our guests for that as well. Final point to make, which does relate to today, is make sure you listen right the way through to the end of today's episode, because today we're going to have a very special offer. There is a competition that you guys can enter and you don't want to miss out on that because it's a very exciting offer. So without further ado, I'm going to introduce my guest. He's going to tell us more about the offer, but at the end. Rich, welcome to the show.
Hi, thanks, Nick. And hello, everyone. How are you doing?
Awesome. It's a pleasure to have you, Rich. And we always ask the same question to every guest. So why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself and also a little bit about your background, which is a very varied background, which I'm quite excited to find out more about.
Yeah, well, my retail and marketing career started in the late 90s. I was on the shop floor at Homebase in Greater London, down in the Southeast London, where I'm born and bred. Fell in love with actually retailing. I adored that job of sort of working in the paint and decorating aisle of there, and and genuinely did that. But my passion was is music and entertainment. I wanted to work in that industry. And while scanning the back of Marketing Week back in the early 2000s, I spotted a job as a head of marketing for a business called Webworks, which actually was the UK commercial arm of play.com. So I imagine you may have some listeners that are old enough to remember DVDs and CDs.
Indeed.
And yeah, we were the UK's answer to Amazon here. And that business, when I joined in 2004, was a 26 million turnover, profitable direct-to-consumer business. It started off actually in the back of Total Film and all the magazines doing mail order subscriptions. And it moved on to, it was probably one of the first e-commerce stores in the UK, selling online from 98, actually. I joined that business, around 20 million. Had a crazy and incredible and fun journey to 500 million turnover in about three and a half years. Again, profitably. There was me and I think I was employee, maybe 50 or something. Wow. I left with a team of 100 reporting to me within 3 years. Yeah. And I then went on to the Hut Group in its very early informative years. So you can probably start to get a pattern here. 10 million turnover when I joined that business. Really the first, I suppose, outside individual with some subject matter experience outside the founders, and again was in, around that business for 5 years and on a growth to 300-400 million. And halfway through that, we divisionalized as a business, and I focused on, I suppose, commercializing our platform. So a very different proposition to Play, which used a third party tool, which was actually an Oracle platform.
I remember Oracle very well.
Yeah.
Very well indeed.
Oh, yeah. So we can cry over that over maybe a pint or two another time.
yes.
Yeah, so we looked to commercialize the first party platform that we built. So I was the founder of what's now known as Ingenuity, but we called it Platform back then. Did that for 3 years and then left the business after 6 years to enjoy starting a family. So my two kids were born around that time. And I took a sort of a lifestyle consultancy choice there and met an individual called Ben Francis and his co-founder, Lewis Morgan, and at Gymshark when they were around 8 million turnover. And I suppose was able to bring a lot of the experience and the knowledge and insight to really, I suppose, help them build a solid foundation in, into the formative years of Gymshark as well. So, you know, I started off as advisor and moved into a CMO role there. So 10 million to 200 million at Gymshark. And then kind of COVID knocked on the door and we sort of had that successful journey at Gymshark. And it was quite clear that as I'd grown up in the last 15 years, that there were certain, I suppose, techniques or frameworks, either strategically or even tactically, and we can talk about the differences if we've got time, but that are very portable. You can kind of take them to any business if you're selling, you know, leggings or you know, makeup or DVDs. And then there are certain areas of the business which are exceptionally unique that need to be completely custom and bespoke. But building a framework, I think, that allows us to, you know, or allows me to ask those questions and really help a founding team, a senior leadership team, or really help them codify and bring that clarity to their plan. And yeah, and throughout COVID, it was quite clear, and I'm sure you found this as well, Nick, that obviously e-commerce being open, your phone's ringing off the hook and your email's going bananas because people need help. And you can't sort of, you know, I'm pretty good at, I'm quite a productive guy, but the sort of triplicating myself was quite difficult. And I thought, right, maybe now the time to move from a lifestyle consultancy into something a bit more serious. So we've formed with my co-founder, Sarah, the Growth Foundation. We're a year and a half old, and we're a team of 25 full-time employees. I'm here in our London office at the moment. And we have three products. And obviously, I was keen to talk to you about one of them today a little more, which alludes to your to that incredible, you know, headline in the show title about, you know, that lost opportunity in the basket. But before we get to that, we'll leave that to the end. The first one is we do quite traditional, I suppose, what would be traditionally called consulting. So we do like interim and fractional support across brand, marketing, trading, e-commerce, you know, tech, ops, pretty much every, I suppose, function or department in one of a typical e-commerce or Shopify merchants business. We've got experience here that can help. We typically are more, I suppose, directional versus executional. So, you know, we've been there, seen it, done it. There's an analogy which I kind of use with sort of, you know, friends and family that aren't in this sector, you know, saying, you know, think of the Karate Kid movie, the original one from the 80s, not the Netflix show so much, but, you know, you've got Daniel, the high potential champion of the future. That's how we see our clients. And then, you know, we see ourselves as Mr. Miyagi.
Nice.
So you know, guiding and helping, you know, standing in the background. But if it gets really tasty, we'll get on the mat and throw a few punches as well. it's much more that mentoring and background. The second one is we've got a very active talent and recruitment agency here. So, and you can probably tell from my background, we adore sort of that startup scale up space. So when it's really fun, really agile, flexible, probably quite stressful. We've dealt with, I suppose, we understand the types of mindsets of people who've got that operating scale. And actually, one of the things, I suppose, I know it's time for me to go somewhere where I have to write a form to IT to get something changed. As soon as that happens, it's probably time to go and find the next startup and scale up. So we find businesses that are in that journey. So yeah, our sweet spot is that, you know, 1 to 5 to 10 million turnover merchant that wants to be a 500 million merchant in the next 3 to 5 years. And then finally, we've developed a product called Order Rescue, which I'm sure we're going to come on to talk about. So
I'll
stop for breath there, Nick, and allow you to ask a few questions.
We are indeed. Yeah, I mean, what a phenomenal background. I mean, I guess one of the amazing things about where you've come into a business, and I'm sure you look, maybe not in the very first one, but I'm sure you look at this now when you're looking at a business, is how scalable it is. And I think a lot of people that tune into our podcast, and certainly some of the feedback we get from people, is that they're in a stage where it's like they're just trying to get things working. They're not quite sure the product's quite right yet. The website's not converting like they would like. And the two are probably linked. They don't look after their customers in the way they should. And as we're going to talk about today, the cart just doesn't do what it needs to. And I think one of the biggest frustrations I certainly get online as a consumer, and we see it day in, day out with all of our clients, is you do all that hard work, someone adds the basket, and if they don't buy, it's like, it's just absolutely soul destroying. It's like, I've run advertising, we put the product in front of them, we got the website working, and next thing you know, they're like...
Particularly, Nick, in your line of work, right, if you're a sort of, let's say, a paid and performance marketing specialist, right, all that effort to get someone into the store for them to then walk out empty-handed with no basket or cart or an order is really frustrating.
Well, fortunately, we don't wash our hands with people when they arrive on the site. We do a lot on site as well to say to clients, like, they're not buying this, they're not buying that, and that sort of thing. So.
Correct. Well, so Order Rescue is actually some software that we've got in beta at the moment, obviously, and I wanted to come on to talk to your audience and listeners, because obviously you've got a you know, let's be clear, a phenomenal target audience for us to talk to and educate them about this and hopefully build some hot leads for us, right? But actually what's really interesting, some of the information that we've found as we've been developing the product. So from part of our consulting sort of work, we wanted to get a bit more intimate with what was going on in the checkout. And obviously, you know, Google Analytics will show you that flow from all sessions to product page ads to cart, and then, you know, then that final cart to order conversion rate. One of the other things that we've seen, we've got the benefit of working across a number of e-commerce platforms or merchants, is, and again, most of our merchants are Shopify.
Nice.
And
we're a big glad to hear it.
Quite right too, right? And we have got, you know, some Magento, legacy Magento 1 and new Magento 2 clients. We've got custom builds. But one of the things we spot in Shopify actually is that that cart to order completion conversion often isn't quite as high. Actually, when I say isn't, you know, is more than often not as high as some of the other platforms that are out there. And that's because, again, quite rightly from Shopify's point of view, they have to build a cart that a million merchants can use. It's stable, secure,
exactly,
and has to be vanilla enough. So if you're selling, again, leggings or DVDs, it works for both of you, right? But I suppose when, and this is where I suppose we built something that gave us a greater visibility of what was going on and how could we look to reduce the exits from that last page, because you've got people who are about to literally get their credit cards out, or, you know, they get their PayPal passwords out and go for it. And so we built something to track and give us a bit more tracking. So we wanted to capture length of time in the basket, interaction with the form, and what they're doing in the voucher code box, etc. Right. And the other thing that we sort of, I suppose, were musing, and this is where the team and I have got a few more, I suppose, laps around the track because of our age and experience, is with quite a few of my team have come from physical retail environments. And if you imagine the Shopify checkout as a physical checkout, so let's imagine that if we can turn that kind of quite happy, vanilla, generic grey page that we all see. I know you can change it with your style sheets and stuff, but that's how it comes out the box. Imagine sort of walking into, you know, Tesco with that and saying, right, would you install this in three dimensions in your store? And they might go, actually, you know, it's quite vanilla and generic. Yeah, we could work with that. And then if you imagine taking that to perhaps, you know, Burberry or a luxury sunglasses brand or something else, they probably would say, absolutely no way. The underlying technology we'd happily have, but the visual representation of the brand is just simply not there. And if you imagine what particularly, I suppose, aspirational and luxury brands do, is they envelop you as a consumer in the whole journey. As soon as you enter the store, it smells beautiful. Usually a very presentable sales associate will come up and take you on a journey and squeeze you from interested
down to
the
checkout. Ask you what you're looking for and answer questions, and even, you know, all that kind of stuff.
And again, I've been perhaps dragged into a few stores by my wife where, you know, champagne is offered at the till. And you know, all that kind of thing.
House showrooms, we get a lot of that in the UK. It's like, what would you like, still or sparkling? And you think it's water and they walk out with a white wine or a champagne. It's lovely.
So. Absolutely. And it's all about that again, isn't it? You know, that I'm feeling. And great checkouts or actually great retail environments, be it online and offline, do two things. They amplify the features and benefits of the product, and they suppress the anxiety of why you shouldn't buy it, right? And that's the two things they're brilliant at. So anyway, with that in mind, we're thinking, do you know what? The Shopify checkout and actually any other e-commerce checkout, when it's left as in its sort of generic out-of-the-box state, doesn't do a very good job of conversion. But what was really interesting as we sort of built that tracking is that we saw, you know, for every 100 sessions that enter the checkout, and this is what's surprising, is that 8% of them, so 8, will type a voucher code which is invalid and then leave the store. And of that 8%, there's a whole world of things that are going on in that number. So there are a good proportion of people that are trying active codes and they simply can't enter them because of a typo or a spelling mistake, which is really common. People are obviously trying opening another tab, going off into Google, typing in, you know, merchant name deals, and then going to perhaps a voucher site, finding a code which typically doesn't work because they're, you know, they're not valid anymore, comes back, attempts them all, and then leaves the store. They might have like Honey or another plugin, voucher plugin in the store, which attempts to inject vouchers that don't work. And actually what we also then see is that actually usually 30, 40 to maybe 50% of those vouchers or those customers actually still go on to buy. So they're just trying it on, right? They're going, right, let's give this a go. If I get a deal, brilliant. And actually, what's also really fun as well, you can see people trying staff 10, test 1, 2, 3, and all kind of other variations of, trying to, I suppose, think of the various codes.
Yeah, one thing we did look at a while ago was we managed to pull those codes into Google Analytics, and we gave the client a report to say which codes are used. And the most used one was actually a test 1, 2, 3.
Yeah.
the client's jaw dropped and hit the desk and said, that's an internal one we use for testing. And we were like, well, you idiots.
Yeah.
You know, use like random letters and numbers and then make sure everyone's aware of it internally. Yeah, do not use something that's easy to guess. But you're absolutely right. Anyone's going to look for a deal if they can.
That's a good tip for anyone listening now, right? If you are using a code for testing, make sure either you rotate it or you've got a bank of one-use codes or whatever, right? Yeah, I mean, there's probably quite a lot of margin being lost through test 1, 2, 3 globally. That'd be an interesting report to run, wouldn't it? So so what we did with this knowledge, you're right, we're able to see, wow, look at this, what's going on. And then we thought again, what would happen in real life? So if you walked in to a store, let's say with a welcome 10 offer, so I'm a new customer, promised me 10% off for sharing my email address or something in physical world. If you turned up with a scrumpled up voucher, or perhaps, you know, you'd lost your voice through a cold and you sort of presented it, the individual at the till would honour that offer. So we're thinking, right, well, how do we just simply then replace this dynamically with a valid offer? So we've got two sides of the application or the piece of software effectively. There's a tracking side, which gives a merchant full visibility of all those things, right? Which codes are being used, how many are being used, all of that information, which is really interesting to look at and to ensure, again, that active codes aren't being misspelled, all that sort of stuff. But then we've built the feature on the other side, which is actually patent pending, we're really proud to say. So that's that we've applied for a patent on that concept of dynamically replacing it with a valid offer, which is going through the process now. And what that tool then does is, I suppose, a really lovely sort of criteria builder. So you can say, right, if basket contains or doesn't contain these SKUs, these tags, this value, you know, if the customer is new or not, if actually the code they've attempted contains certain characters or not, etc., right? Even down to referring URL or UTM string. So you can really start to target the right customer with the right replacement offer to protect your margin and your product. We've also tried to think about, again, you know, we've used our own framework on ourselves. What's the anxiety of a merchant thinking about that? And one of the things we're really conscious of is margin erosion and fear of loss for the merchant.
That's gonna be my main question is, yeah, you're gonna suddenly lose loads of money because everyone that's coming in now is going, oh, I'm just gonna try any old code and it will give me a 15% off when actually I don't deserve one.
There's a couple of interesting things to say around that. So I'll remember that. So one of the things we've done in terms of a replacement offer, right, which might be, again, you imagine you get someone, even if it's a someone who's got a typo on a valid code, or perhaps it's one of those individuals that tries it on, you know, they're after that staff 30 code, which doesn't exist, but it might be, you can say, hey, you, and again, what's brilliant, we've built it so that the copy or the message that gets presented can be anything and custom for the merchant. So it could be, hey, you cheeky guy, you know, you can't have a staff code, but you could have free delivery. Or actually you can inject, and one of the things we've done for the merchant is the ability to inject a SKU and then give that SKU the full discount or some money off. So it could be actually an opportunity to give a gift with purchase or even the ability of an upsell. So we've got a fast growth sofa brand that we work with, and they're doing a thing where, you know, if you spend over £2,000 on the sofa, so that's the criteria, you attempt to code, it will present, depending on that criteria and the spend, either a completely free footstool if you try something, which to them costs tens of pounds and is worth hundreds in terms of perceived value, or it could give you a half price footstool, etc., which is added to the basket. So
one of the ones we had on from a guest a while ago, and they were the retailer themselves, they said that they basically sold lots of different flavors of water flavoring. So you can, like, instead of just drinking normal water, it's natural flavorings, so it's not full of sugar. And they said that every time they release a new flavor, they would automatically add it at cart. So anyone that was like, right, I'm going to go and buy this product, they were like, well, we're also going to send you, and they would tell them in advance.
Sample this.
Exactly. Here's a sample, so you can have two free cups worth of this other flavor. That's obviously a bit more expensive. And they found the amount of people that then started working their way up and going from buying their cheapest product to their most expensive. So they would advertise the cheap one. They got a lifetime value then of repeat orders of them working their way up.
Yeah.
And eventually they're now buying the top product, which means they're making more profit per order on the top product on a subscription than they needed to make on that first order anyway. So it's hugely profitable.
Yeah. And I think actually, you know, what I suppose if we think about the operating scale of your listeners from about to start up to scale up and maybe even enterprise, one of those things to do as a job of, perhaps if you're listening to this, maybe we shouldn't pause for silence, but as maybe a bit of homework after this is to actually really think about if your store and maybe you're 100% digital and direct to consumer e-commerce, how would it appear in physical life? So if you had that pop-up or that physical store, and then imagine what your sales associate would say at the till, right? What other things could you add as a complimentary buy? I remember very clearly, an incredible store manager I had at Homebase, my first job, right? Which was, he would walk up and down every aisle to ensure, again, those upsells and complimentary cross sales were there.
Good.
So I worked in painting and decorating. Again, a couple of things he said, you know, if the white spirit's ever out of stock on the shelf, you're fired, because that's why people come here, white spirit and white emulsion. And they said, you know, he used to walk down there and he'd be like, why are there no 4-inch brushes next to the white emulsion, like hanging next to it?
Yeah, of course.
Because those complimentary sales are absolutely. So,
or if you're looking at buying, you know, bits of timber or whatever, it's like, we'll put a tape measure next to it.
Nail screws,
tape measures, the lot, pencil.
Yeah.
Gonna need it.
I guarantee everyone you've got pretty much will be able to have a complimentary product that, using a lot of the apps that are available in the Shopify marketplace, right, that you'd be able to get that in the basket or in the right time. One of the other interesting things is, in terms of a little tip as well, one we see quite frequently is if you kind of have a product range or a proposition that can benefit from one or two products working together.
Bundling them up and...
Well, actually, it's that post-sale immediate kind of, you know, if you saw, let's say, and we have got an example of this, we've got a crash helmet client, and the anchor product is the crash helmet. People go, oh, I need a new crash helmet for my motorcycle, right? But they sell loads of incredible visors and an audio pack and a hook to hang it on the wall.
Plus, you need wax for it as well, because you have to wax them, because there's no window wipers. So it's like,
exactly that.
Sort of stuff.
And actually, in a physical store, your three-dimensional visions can see all this stuff, right? Whereas in e-com, you go down this one-directional flow, don't you, where you go, right, I'm just here for my helmet.
Especially on mobile.
Yeah, and you can't easily see these complimentary products. So what we would do is, like, anyone who orders just the helmet, you know, we would say, you're missing out the whole deal here.
Yeah, and this product's not going to work well, et cetera.
Well, you won't have the full experience, right? So we would send, you know, literally as soon as the order was received and we could see it was only a single, you know, anchor product order, we would then immediately order with an upsell offer, which would be, hey, you're missing the audio pack, the wax for the visors. And often that would have a 50% plus more conversion rate off that immediate email, because you're in that fuzzy moment. I've just spent a few hundred quid on a helmet. Yeah, spending another 50 quid on the other stuff. Yeah, so yeah.
Plus, you can put a timer on it as well to create urgency. So you can say,
100%,
your order's going to be dispatched in 24 hours' time. So you've got 24 hours now to add some more stuff, plus a discount if you want to go and get it and add it in as a... We'll still give you the bundling discount now.
Completely. And on that fear of missing out, Nick, that's one of the sort of the beautiful features of the Order Rescue app. So if you do choose to, obviously, switch the rescue offer on, it can be, as we said, delivery, a gift with purchase, a discount percentage or you know, pounds or dollars or euros off of an order, and then you can time delimit the validity period. So one of the interesting things there, again, in terms of like how consumers make decisions, in low discretion markets where, you know, the average order value perhaps up to £100, where discretion is slightly lower, we put a very short fear of missing out limit on that. So, hey, you know, you've tried that offer, here's 10% off for the next 10 minutes. And we play with that limit. We tried a similar limit with the sofa company and we had no success.
Yeah, of course. Such a considered purchase. Yeah.
And we're like, what's going on? And actually there were a couple of things. Not only would you think, hang on a second, yeah, you've got to maybe check with the other half or even check in the bank account. Have you got, you know, a couple of grand that you're about to spend on the sofa? But actually just going through the buy now, pay later process or the finance process can take 10, 20, 30 minutes, right? To get through that if you're going to buy on finance. So suddenly we put it to an hour, suddenly ding, 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 it works.
Yeah,
right?
Nice.
So back to that perhaps percentage. So yeah, and what's really interesting on that 8%, where I'm sort of quite confident using as a generic term, we've got very, let's say, like aspirational high AOV merchants using it. And I've got very, let's say, actively and aggressively trading with codes, lower AOV merchants.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter where you are on that scale, roughly 8% of your checkout sessions are using invalid codes. But what we've seen then when merchants have switched on Order Rescue is that obviously you can be very open to replacing lots of offers. So literally anyone on first attempt, type anything and you get 10% off. That would be, you know, a very generous offer. And obviously the merchant could decide, no, new customers only. On the second attempt, when they mistype welcome 10, for example, that would obviously change the amount that the app can rescue overall for the merchant. But usually what we see on average across our merchants is that they rescue approximately 30 to 40% of that 8%. Which is great, right?
So actually, a direct uplift, isn't it?
Direct uplift immediately when you switch it on. So I've done, just for this, I'm conscious of, again, people like listening to a lot of numbers in their heads and stuff, going, oh God, I can't keep track of all these numbers. But I'll give you an idea. I just added up. I pulled out three merchants that have used it in October. And across that merchant base, there were, you know, about £1 million worth of turnover that converted. And there was, which was actually about over 14,000 orders, right, that were converted. 1,219, which is around 50% of that percentage, actually missed completely. So, you know, they were wrong. There was a missed and left the store. And then Order Rescue saved about 900 of, so, you know, when you actually, I suppose the summary is more important, right? So the conversion uplift for the merchant on the order volume on the, those merchants that we used was 6% conversion uplift and revenue about 7%.
Wow.
What's interesting is those customers that use the voucher spend slightly more. Right,
so what I love about it though is it's this is money you wouldn't have got. It's not we're not saying
yeah,
like
it's incremental.
Oh, you could yeah, it's not like a case of saying like, oh, if you spend a bit more, you'll get a bit more. This is like you continue spending what you are now and you're getting more people that are rescued from cancelling the cart. Therefore, and this where it gets exciting, I think, is when you think about the wider scale of this, this isn't just saying, oh, okay, we're going to make a little bit more out of people or boost average order value slightly. It's orders we wouldn't have got. They're customers you can now market to, which increases your average order value, your lifetime value, which means you can spend more generating them as well. Or another way of putting that is you can be more aggressive with advertising. And that's the thing that I think every brand is trying to do at all times. If your average order value is double your competitors, within reason, you could target double they can per click on every advertising platform, which means you're going to start cleaning up. It's not just a case of, you know, the big companies got bigger budgets, so they have more advertising. It's like, no, they've done this stuff. And that's, as you said right at the start, that's why the ones you've been involved in have scaled so quickly. So yeah, I think there's a lot of logic in it.
Yeah, and you're right. And I suppose the one thing we're really conscious of is not cannibalizing the people who would have bought anyway, right?
Yeah.
And that's,
yeah.
We've tried really carefully to think about those features and configuration features to say, actually, yeah, I need to get the people who were genuinely would have walked out. You know, I spent, as you say, you know, £5 getting them into the store. You know, in terms of their, you know, the total cost of acquiring, you know, with the three or four ads they've probably bumped into, you know, let's get them. And it's effectively the way I tried to think about it is like a virtual salesperson who's sort of just looking at those people leaving the shop with a basket saying, why are you going? Oh, you'd had a voucher that didn't work. Hang on, come back with me. I'll see what I can do for you. And which is what would happen in real life, right?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, we did a whole episode, it was nearly 2 years ago now, possibly even slightly longer than that, where we spoke about just if you're setting up a store or you're looking at your theme going, right, it's time to change my Shopify theme at the moment. What do you need to think about? And the two bits of advice he gave, one was exactly that. Imagine you're walking into a store. Who greets you? What's in the window? What street is it on? You know, that's Google or Facebook, all those kind of things, or the keyword you're targeting for the street you're going to, you know, your store's going to be on digitally. All that sort of stuff. Who greets you? What's the smell? How many products are there? How are they laid out? You know, is it just a complete jumble sale of stuff everywhere piling to the ceiling, which a lot of, like, that's how Amazon is. You know, Amazon is like the IKEA marketplace. We just kind of marching around.
There's everything store.
Boxes everywhere. The second bit of advice that I thought was really interesting, and it sounds like your tool can start to get some insights on this, is use the scenario of your granddad or your nan. You know, ask someone who's not au fait with the internet and computers to use your website. Don't say anything. Don't answer any questions. Don't ask it. Just sit there and watch. You'll learn so much. Watch them use it on a mobile device, tablet, and then desktop, and you'll see where they click and what they try to do. In a very similar fashion, as you mentioned, if they're using the wrong codes, getting a report going there, okay, no, I mean, imagine if you found out, for example, that you've got discount codes all over the internet and no one ever uses one.
Yeah.
Well, that's a huge learning. Okay, yeah. What's the point of generating all these things? Who are our customers? Why do they not want them? Is it because they don't work? Is it because they're not aware of them? Or is it we're putting the discount codes in the wrong places? As well.
100% correct.
It's all these things of like, if you knew the answers to these problems, you'd change stuff immediately and your revenue would increase.
Yeah. And it's really tough for merchants, right? Particularly for those in the startup side of things, because they have to be a jack of all trades. They've got to be the buyer, the merchandiser, the visual merchandiser, you know, the product
person,
inventor,
the
marketing guy or girl, right? The CRM, the fulfillment person, customer service. It's really hard. And I guess as well that, you know, one of the reasons, I suppose, that Shopify was created was to try and ease some of that, the heavy lifting needed on the operational or getting to market side and letting, you know, founders be inventors and create brands and products.
Yeah.
But it's super hard. Even if you're very creative, it can be very tough to be reductive and have a simple journey. I think one of the things I would say around, you know, I suppose theme and merchandising, visual merchandising, is much more signposting on the homepage versus trying to sell immediately, right? Particularly, I suppose, in apparel, right, where, you know, a bit like a department store, men's is over here, women's is here, we want something else here. Be confident about signposting. You don't have to immediately try and get that conversion on from the homepage, right? Just help signpost and get gradually people, you know, push people down the store and down the funnel.
And another, I guess another really important point to make on that is, you mentioned the homepage, and that's like the storefront, the door into the store.
Yeah.
The biggest difference online is if you do things like Google Shopping, people land on your products.
It's not yeah. the front
if
door.
If you do SEO, they land on your collection.
There
so the other thing
there are thousands of
exactly.
doors. Yeah.
So the other thing we're always saying to people as well is every single page on your site pretty much is a door into the site, apart from pretty much the basket and cart. If they're landing on that, then something's wrong sending them into that place in the first place. Although, even when I say that, I suddenly think of email and abandoned basket, which would actually send you into that place. So,
yeah, one of those things that we talk to a lot of our clients about is trying to think about the mindset of the consumer when they enter the store, be it into the homepage or be it into a product listing page or a product detail page. You know, are they, again, if you think about the path to purchase for buying a sofa, right, which is typically 4 to 6 weeks.
Yeah, I'm shopping
a lot
at the moment with three right, months okay. in and we're still not chosen
okay.
one yet.
I'll give a free plug to Snug Sofa. Check out Snug Sofa.
We've been to Snug's store, actually.
Come
yeah,
on,
yeah.
You, have you? Great. Well, I'm nice. Sure. Talk to me afterwards. I'm sure we can help you out with a.
Oh, that would be lovely. Yeah, we'll sort that out.
And likewise, guys, please email us if we can help you out. On that, right, it's a much longer path to purchase. And actually, people are they thinking size, style, and color, they're not in delivery and will it fit in my house yet? They're still in the. That's a very different mindset to someone. And again, I can replay a Gymshark example, right, where. Effectively, the Shopify store did very, very little, I suppose, inspiration work. It's effectively a checkout because what happened in that business would be I'm looking at a content creator or fitness influencer who has millions of followers who I love watching their content. I think their bum or their boobs or their back
guns.
Or whatever looks incredible. Yeah, their guns, their arms looks incredible in those things while they're working out. They already made the decision. I'm going to buy that top or that legging in Instagram or in TikTok or wherever, right? And actually it was like, how do I get out your way to the checkout, right?
Lift and shift, we call that. Just get them through the cart as quickly as possible.
Yeah, so very different, journey and steps you need to consider, yeah. And actually sometimes as well, if you know, I'm sure you guys will be preaching this, you know, like back to the sofa thing. If you know someone's coming on a green, you know, green sofa keyword, they're probably motivated by green. So show them all the green stuff, not... you know, like across the range versus actually I'm going to show you this beige sofa in the same design. I'm not interested in beige, I want green, right? You know.
Yeah, yeah. They're looking at sofas right now. So A, let's get them a sofa in the cart as quickly as possible. Because if they don't do that, everything else is redundant. But once they've done that, now let's actually talk to them about other stuff, which you mentioned about the footstool makes a lot of sense. I think a lot of businesses, they tend to get a little bit, and Shopify can cause this problem, unfortunately, because this, as you said earlier, there are so many apps out there. People get a bit sidetracked and go like, right, we're going to use this and we're just going to throw products at them on the site. And like you say, imagine in a store, you walk in a sofa shop and sofas are being wheeled in front of you and you can't actually get anywhere.
Or you're even the salesman's henpecking you as you go around, right? Yeah.
You're like, I want a blue sofa and they just show you a ton of red ones. You're like, are you an idiot, mate? I want a blue one. Put me in front of a blue one. It's like, I don't want red. I don't want yellow. I want blue. So I think, I think it's exactly the same in digital. One of the big things that we do have, and again, going back to like people landing on those on different pages in the site, the information we give to them before they land as well is absolutely key. And that applies massively as well to discount codes. So I guess there's probably two ways you can run discount codes. You could either give them the code to say, come to our site and here's the code, or there's an offer on right now or whatever. Or you can say to them, come into our site, here's a beautiful product. And it's a bonus when they reach the checkout to go, oh, and by the way, it's 10% off today only, you know, but you've got to check
surprise.
Out in the next hour.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think both can be very effective, but I wouldn't use both at the same time is what I would say. Cause otherwise you're just devaluing stuff.
Completely. Yeah. And I think coming back to that point, maybe you raised earlier and we're circling back around to it, which was one of the other, I suppose, features of the product is when you're in that moment of the last page of the store, it's a very one-to-one and intimate space between you and the merchant. You've got your credit card out, you're putting very personally identifiable and, you know, valuable information into the store. What we found with the merchants we've been using this, and actually to give you some of the sort of sense of the scale of the test, we've probably had nearly £100 million worth of revenue run through the app. Obviously we haven't rescued that much, but we've got really good volume on it. And we haven't had one merchant tell us here we've got about 30 in the test that it's gone sort of viral that you can type this and get that, right? People do not talk about that stage of their transaction publicly. They just don't. What's also, I suppose, really interesting as well for merchants who perhaps want to be more aspirational and less visible in, let's say, in public areas with codes and fear of missing out, which is always a brilliant way of driving, you know, revenue when you want it. But you want to kind of appear to be premium and not a discount brand, which of course is, again, the holy grail, is that if you do use codes perhaps in CRM away from the store, so you don't want to advertise codes on the store, or
you send them out via email.
Yeah, it can be much more one-to-one. And again, if people then are using either those codes and making errors because they've copied and pasted it not right, missed a character, it's a great way of keeping it under the radar. We sort of use this terminology at the Hut Group a lot because they're very active in that exact tactic called swan strategy or swan tactic, which is, you know, so imagine a swan on a lake. Above the lake, which is what everyone sees, they're beautiful creatures and, you know, very graceful and aspirational. Under the water, they're paddling away like crazy to get to the other side. And that's kind of what the CRM and the voucher program has to do, is like paddle away like crazy. And then this beautiful swan on top. Yeah.
That analogy, I mean, it works really well for that, but I think it also works for every, pretty much every agency brand and every merchant. And it's like, you come to the site and you're like, oh, this is all so relaxing. These candles, you know, there's all these different scents, and it's showing me shots in the middle of the woodland, you know, somebody in a spa in the middle of the woods, you know, on a nice sort of dark, you know, summer's evening or whatever. Whereas the guys in the background are like sweating like mad, running around the warehouse trying to get all the products out in time, and the marketing team are working at 10 p.m. to try and get a voucher out for Black Friday.
100%.
It's I can absolutely relate to that. Definitely. And I guess a big question, this as well, is you mentioned a lot of UK businesses. You're in the UK, but a lot of our listeners are in the US as well. This isn't exclusive, is it?
100%. No. So one of the things to say now, and I suppose obviously love to hear from you. So Nick, hopefully you'll put our details in your notes so people can get in contact with us. That'd be great.
We will. Yeah. It'll be in the description, guys. So make sure you check that out.
Currently today, because of the nature of the way Shopify works, it's exclusively for Shopify Plus merchants today. That's because, again, we're getting into the technical things, but those merchants are able to edit and inject code into the checkout liquid, right? But we will, I'd be very surprised if we aren't in the Shopify App Store and have worked a way of actually making it that every merchant can use this tool. We think it's valuable for everyone, irrespective of your size. In terms of how we get remunerated, we're a sort of a software as a service. It's a tool for merchants to use. So depending on the volume of your usage, the fee moves up in a ratchet, but it's very affordable. And we hope to have actually a free to use level for those smaller merchants ultimately. And then as you grow, it becomes a paid for thing. But actually we're building it in a way that will be agnostic to platform, to be candid. So I would hope within maybe 12 to 24 months, we are integrated with, with BigCommerce and Magento 2 and Commerce Cloud and whichever the next platform comes, right? So we're making it available for any merchant and even custom builds as well. So that's the way we're thinking of things. Yeah. Please get in touch and you'll be able to, I suppose the way we usually start with things is installing that tracking side first, because what that allows us and the merchant to do is actually look at the size of the price. So you can actually evaluate, particularly if you're a busy startup scale up with 8,000 things to do on your to-do list, you can actually go, is this worth my effort to install and configure this? You know, and usually the answer is yes. It's a very lightweight single line of JavaScript that drops into the checkout liquid, and then the configuration takes 10 to 15 minutes genuinely. And I think there's one of the challenges I'm trying to overcome as a marketer is it's too good to be true. So if you imagine I'm talking to a handful of my, I suppose, alumni. I've got some very large enterprise level Shopify Plus brands.
Nice.
In my Rolodex, and I'm saying to them, right, you're doing 150 million. I can give you 5% increase, like within half hour's work, and you can see them going, no, that can't be true. I say it's completely true.
Challenge accepted. Exactly. Last thing to jump onto as well, Rich. While we're talking about, you know, getting in touch in the programs, we mentioned right at the start about a competition, and obviously it's going to be on. I believe it's going to be on our website. Which you and Byron have been talking away about this, and Byron's mentioned a couple of bits, but I'm probably most in the dark, like most of our listeners. Tell us more.
Not a problem at all. Well, one of the things, again, I suppose, as a born and bred marketer, I'm thinking, how do I get in touch with your listeners directly? And we'd love to offer a consultation package worth £5,000 to a lucky listener. And I know Byron will be working out the process of entering on that. So, check the notes below for those details. And the reason we've left that quite generic is because the lucky winner may be a startup, one individual still in the bedroom, actually not even gone live. And we could then really help them get to market and get going. We might also find that we've got a Shopify Plus merchant with 20 million turnover, 80 members of staff. Likewise, we could then perhaps just focus all our energy in their CRM or some other issue that they're coming across. Yeah. So very much looking forward to that. And hopefully that means we can get to be introduced to lots of amazing Shopify merchants that you guys have got.
Yeah, lovely. And I do have the link to it. That is as much as I've got in my notes. But lucky listeners, yes. Worth $5,000. It's winningwithshopify.com/growth. Nice and simple. So winningwithshopify.com/growth.
Yes, brilliant. Okay, well, I'll post that out on my LinkedIn as well.
Lovely stuff. Well, that's there. As we say, it'll be to a lucky listener. So make sure you fill that out. And we'll, I think there's some information there as well about who's going to be the winner and what the criteria is to do that. So nothing to lose. And if you want to go on there, subscribe to the email as well to make sure you get our emails. But do that after you've signed up for this with on the growth page. Rich, if people want to try the app, what's the best way to get in touch with you?
The best way is actually just get in touch with me. It's my baby at Growth Foundation. I'm pushing this project. So send Richard@thegrowth.foundation an email, put order rescue in the subject line. Also, if you go to thegrowth.foundation, our website, there's a contact us form there as well. And actually, I was hoping to have all of our order rescue pages done by the time this goes out, but I think you've pulled the schedule forward slightly, Nick. So
we have, yeah, very slightly.
Not at all. Well, I think, just send me Richard@thegrowth.foundation. Or you can find me on LinkedIn. I'm really active there in terms of, DMing and everything else. So yeah, Richard Chappell, you'll find me easily.
And the other thing to do as well, Rich, is if everyone subscribes to our email, as soon as it's ready, drop Byron and I a note and we'll put it on our next email that goes out every week as well. So if you guys check that out, you can get access to the web pages as soon as they're available. So you see what's going on. Lovely stuff. Rich, it's been an absolute pleasure having you on the show. Thank you so much.
No, thanks, Nick. Really enjoyed that.
Lovely stuff. And to everybody else listening, back again next week. I'm going to say we post every Friday, but this one didn't go out on a Friday, so apologies. But generally speaking, we post every Friday. So make sure you stay tuned. If you've not already, hit that subscribe button. And we look forward to posting lots more amazing content for you all. Thanks a lot for listening.
Thanks for listening to today's podcast. You can subscribe to our weekly newsletter for exclusive offers at winningwithshopify.com. And don't forget to check out our Facebook group by searching for Winning with Shopify on Facebook. Over and out.